Welcome, welcome, welcome to a special bonus episode of Diabetes Unplugged. Today, I'm shaking things up a little bit, and I'm actually doing an episode swap with It's About Damn Time podcast hosted by Jared Dam. Now, Jared and I have been collaborating on each other's platforms for quite some time, and every time we get together, it is straight foolery, but in the absolute best way. So in today's bonus episode, you're going to be hearing a dynamic conversation between he and I that we actually recorded on his podcast a while back about stress management and its impact on weight loss. Now, if you've been following either of our platforms for a while, you know that Jared is on his journey to dominating diabetes, and I am on an extremely vulnerable healing journey as well. So stress management is a huge part of both of our paths right now. So without further ado, let's jump right into today's bonus episode of Diabetes Unplugged.
Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time, where we change the narrative by changing the perspective. I'm Jared Dam. And it's about damn time to have another conversation that changes the way you think and perceive things. The only question is, are you ready? Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. I am Jared Dam, back in the building once again. And if you're new here, let me tell you how we do things around here. It's About Damn Time is a podcast about self-journeys of self-discovery. I'm trying to build a better me. I'm taking people along the journey with me to help people build better thems. And I got my favorite functional therapist, functional nutritionist, therapist, practitioner. So I was practicing that in my head beforehand, but I had mixed up the words. Bettina Henry in the building once again. What's going on?
Nothing much. What's going on with you? I'm so happy to be here. You're my favorite. And I'm just excited because I know that this episode is going to be yet another fun, informative, powerful episode. So I'm excited to talk.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and I've been kind of dreading talking to you at the same time because I know you're about to get on me. And just to remind listeners who may didn't check out our episode previously, tell them exactly what a functional nutrition therapist practitioner is.
Besides being a mouthful. Okay, it's a lot. That's why, you know, we use the abbreviation. We just use FNTP, just to make it less of a mouthful. But it's so functional nutritional therapy practitioner. So I am all of those things in one, bubble. Mm-hmm. And basically what that means is I help people to be able to heal their bodies from the inside out. Functional nutrition is all about taking a holistic approach to wellness, to health, and addressing the individual person's unique needs and not just taking a symptom-based approach to whatever health issues that they are dealing with. So for example, I specialize in pre and type 2 diabetes. And so I'm all about being able to show people, you know, and teach people how to use food as medicine, you know, and not have to rely on Western medicine for conditions that are preventable and or reversible as well. I try not to come across as, you know, anti-Western medicine. I do believe that there is a time and place, but when it comes to chronic illnesses that are manifested due to lifestyle habits, you know, that is where I try to help people, you know, take a bird's eye view, zoom out a little bit, you know, and address, you know, what your lifestyle habits are from day to day and how that might be contributing to some of the illnesses that we're battling today.
Just going back, we had a great conversation. I know you specialize in diabetes. I am diabetic. You know, so when we last talked on this recorded live that people can listen to, I was doing so very well. You sung my praises at the very beginning. Now, I'm not doing bad, but I want to give you an update about what's kind of been going on with me. I know some stuff you know, but some stuff you may not know. So I don't know. So
okay, I'm here. I'm all ears.
So November, my dad died. Right.
Okay.
And so that turned into, like, you know, me driving to Tampa. I got to go to Louisiana. I've got to help out people. So the whole boundaries thing that I was already had struggling with, it kind of grew out the window because I started trying to help everybody. So I kind of reverted back to then taking on people's problems as the people pleaser that I am. Yes, mm-hmm. that wasn't good. And then I had stress. And then I decided, okay, you know what? This podcast is great and everything, but what you should really do is create this whole company where it's like a podcast label and production and content, you know, development type stuff. So, you know, that's a little bit more stressful too.
That's a lot, yeah.
And then, you know, maybe because, you know, I wasn't really, you know, focusing on my diet so much because I was, you know, so busy, you know. Oh, let me just get something quick to eat. Mm-hmm. They don't require me to be in the kitchen and not like the beautiful stuff that you be cooking in your kitchen and then posting on Instagram. It'd be like, oh, I just get like a burger, you know, something like that. And then,
right.
And so that happened. And then, you know, because I was exercising, right? Because I was like going to the gym and I was doing that. But, you know, like you be working late at night and you're like, oh, it's late. I'm sleeping.
Right.
So not exercising, not as much, still moving my body. You know what I mean? The A1C is around like 6.8. You know what I mean?
So it ain't. Not bad. Yeah, you almost there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I ain't totally bad, but with all that stuff and then the stress and everything, I fell off. So I wanted to make sure that I threw the A1C in there so you wouldn't get on me too bad.
Nah. He was like, listen, I done made some progress. It's not as bad as it could be, you know. No, but I think, listen, first and foremost, you said a mouthful, right? Like, you got to, you know, we got to take it back, right? We got to take it back to November. You just had a very, very, very traumatic experience with losing your dad. You know what I mean? And no matter how you say that, how, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's traumatic. You know what I mean? Losing anybody, but losing a parent, you know what I mean? That's a big deal. That's not something that you just brush over lightly. You know what I mean? And I think that, and again, perfect timing as far as this conversation where we're talking about stress, you know, I don't think that people truly understand how stress, like how many different dynamics that covers, you know what, right, I'm saying? Right, like, right. Grief is huge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For you to experience something super sudden, like, you know, the loss of a parent, whether you knew it was coming or anticipated it or not, that loss, that transition is a huge deal. And we have to acknowledge the psychological impacts that has, and how those psychological impacts impact your choices, you know what I mean, from then on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I always tell people, you know, when it comes to grief and things like that, that can definitely impact your blood sugar. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a stressful time. That's an overwhelming time. You automatically, you know, threw yourself into fight or flight mode, being like, okay, I got to drive here. I got to do this. What does everybody need? I got to be here. You know what I'm saying? On top of grieving, you know, like it's major fight or flight. Just, you know what I'm saying? And nobody can tell you, oh, it's been a month, it's been 2 months, it's been 3 months, you should be over it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Nobody can tell you that, you know? And so there's things that can happen in our lives that are very sudden and traumatic. And those are hard things to try to navigate, especially when you're trying to get your health in the right order. There's a period where you're just at a standstill and you're like, I know what I should be doing, but right now I'm stuck. You know what I mean? And so with all that being said, first off, my condolences. And second off, give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. And that, I see you. That's hard. That part right there, that's the hardest thing for people to do. Because again, it goes back to that fight or flight. We always feel like if I'm not being productive, if I'm not striving for more, it's not okay to be at a standstill.
Right.
It's like you're wasting time. You're not being successful. You're not striving for anything. But it's like, listen, you got to give yourself rest too. And not just physical rest, but emotional, mental rest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think, yes, you got to have grace with yourself. And that's been like, I think the topic for 2023, like overall for people yelling at me about doing stuff, you know, give yourself some grace. But I think you make a kind of like a good point too, because I'm constantly trying to grow, trying to be better, trying to be better than I was the day before. But here's the thing, that this is how you get locked into it, because that stress from that grief, you're trying to keep moving, one, so you won't sit in it, regardless of however my relationship was with him, you know, it still happened. So you don't want to sit in it, one. And then two, now you at that point in time, like with me personally, oh shit, I'm 43, you know, life is, you know, short. You know, he just went unexpectedly. I got to get out all the stuff that I need to do. So I can't rest. I got to do it.
Right.
And so then I'll promote, oh, well, today is Self-Care Friday. So today I'll watch a movie. And then the whole time on the movie, I'm checking social media, like, well, you know, how are these stats doing and everything? This reel that I put out, how that's going. So it's not, it's kind of resting, but it's not really resting.
But it's not. Yeah. That's the hardest kind of rest, is that mental rest.
Right.
People can rest physically all day long. Like, I'm good for popping on, you know, my thing right now is Grey's Anatomy. So I'm good at popping on some Netflix, okay, watching Grey's, okay? Like, and I'm resting physically. I'm not, you know, doing anything. But mentally, your mind be going. You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm not gonna step too far here, because I'm sure you got some things you got to ask, but we probably gonna have to go all the way back. Like, it's so, like, I think what people don't realize is a lot of the habits we have in our adult lives, they stem from childhood. You know what I'm saying? This is not something that you just all of a sudden you became an adult and now you're this overachiever and now you're this people pleaser or now you're this, you know, I gotta get things or whatever. No, That's not how that works. It's the conditioning from our childhood. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for example, and I'm gonna touch on this and you tell me when we need to reel it back in. But okay. What I wanted to say though, so, and I'll use, you know, myself as an example, or not even just myself, but just in general, right? Sometimes you have kids that maybe, you know, was raised in a single household, right? Mm-hmm. Or they were raised in a big family like myself. Like for me, I'm the middle child. Right. So I wasn't the oldest and I wasn't the youngest. I was right in the middle. So there wasn't a lot of attention for me. And so because I did not get a lot of attention, I overachieved. I was a straight A student. I was, you know, very involved in all the clubs as far as like the school clubs and Future Business Leaders of America and dance team and blah, blah, blah. Because in doing those things, it got me attention.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So in my adult life, I still find that I'm this overachiever because I want to be recognized. I want people to say, hey, you're doing a good job. I need people to notice, hey, I'm doing all this work. Do you see me? Mm-hmm. That's a trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trauma response. That's a people pleaser response. Sometimes we get into these roles and we're just navigating on autopilot because of our upbringing. And it's not necessarily our parents' fault or anything like that. We don't say these things and we don't recognize or acknowledge these things to place blame. But it is for you to create awareness, like, hey, why can't I just sit here and watch a movie and relax without having to check social media and see how my reels are doing?
Right.
Where does that come from?
Right.
You know what I mean? As a woman, it's like, okay, hey, why do I feel awkward or crazy even, or like I'm not enough if I'm not being productive, if I'm not taking care of other people?
Especially, you know, a black woman.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have to dig deeper and identify where those things come from. Because again, it's a trauma response. A seed was planted somewhere.
Right.
It wasn't all of a sudden. It could have been a traumatic event. It could have been neglect. It could have been abandonment. Could have been any of those things. And not just in childhood, but just, again, as you're going through life, because life would be life.
Life do be life. And I like that you took it back to that. So that's a good point. So it don't happen unexpectedly. Like the stress that you have and the way that you handle stress, it's not no brand new stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so you gave an example, middle child wanted some attention. So you did all these activities and shine. Me, only child, but I didn't, and this is a realization that I've gotten within like the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I deserve love. So I had to have this breakdown with my therapy session. So me, my overachieving people pleasing thing came like, well, I gotta prove to these people that they should love me. Yes. They should allow me to be in their life. And so even now, like when I talk about falling back into old habits, that's exactly what I did, you know, when dad died. Like, it's like, I'm making sure all my sister's good, you know, it's right around the holidays. So I want to make sure the kid's good. I'm doing this. And all of a sudden now I'm going back into, as my mom and my therapist calls it, Captain Save-A-Ho stage. And that's what I was doing.
Ooh, listen, we got to talk about it. Can we talk about it? We got to talk about it. Listen.
Let's go ahead.
Okay. I got to touch on that because you said, oh my gosh. For one, I want to commend you for being able to admit that and speak that as your truth, because that's very, very, very hard. That's like a deep, dark secret that we keep to ourselves. Like, nobody's out here parading around announcing, I don't feel worthy of love. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's out here saying that. That's like a sacred thing to ourselves. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so for you to be able to have the courage to say that, to admit that, you know what I mean? Not just to yourself, but hey, on the podcast, you know what I'm saying? Number one, a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that because that's a lot of people's stories. But number two, what I wanted to say was, that is a huge indicator of, like you were saying, some of our habits, right? And I want to even bring it a little bit deeper, some of our cravings, right? Like some of our cravings. So for example, I just taught a masterclass not long ago about, and it was entitled, What Your Cravings Are Trying to Tell You About Your Unhealed Trauma. That's what it was about. And when I tell you it was powerful, it was, let me tell you. But I want to ask you a question. I know this is your podcast, but I want to
Let's go.
I'm going to say it. Just let me know if you relate to it. So one of the things that I was breaking down and I was telling people was that your cravings are going to tell on you way before you tell on yourself, right? And so what that means is, depending on the cravings that you're having, I can tell you what you're going through right then and there. So for example, I see a lot of people, because obviously I'm a diabetic nutritionist, right? So I see a lot of people who would label themselves as sugar addicts. They're just like, I need sugar. I need sweets. I will snort it off the counter if you put it in front of me. Like, I need sugar type stuff.
Pretty much.
And I would ask, I say, you know, you have issues with love. You have issues giving and receiving love. Not just giving love, but you have issues giving and receiving love. You know how I know that? Because you're craving sweets. Sweets are some of those things where we're just like, it's going to give us a huge, huge, huge dopamine release. And dopamine is that happy, that feel-good hormone, right? So when we're eating sugar, you ever notice how you feel a little bit better? You feel a little bit more pepped up? You know what I mean? Because it's enough to distract you from the real feelings that you're feeling, which is, I feel unloved, I feel unheard, I feel insignificant. You know what I'm saying? Sugar does that. People that crave crunchy foods, they're dealing with anxiety. You know what I mean? If you ever feel anxious or nervous or whatever, you go for the potato chips. You go for, you know, those pretzels or the crunchy stuff. You know what I mean? Why? Because when you bite into those, you know, cookies or the potato chips or whatever, it releases the tension in your jaw. You know what I'm saying? So your anxiety goes away because you've gotten that release. You know, if you are craving creamy foods, like say, let's say you're an ice cream person or a mashed potato person or something creamy, you know what I mean? You need some nurturing. You need to feel nurtured. You need to feel cared for. You know what I mean? Like if you got a spicy food addiction, like that's where I struggle. That means you're dealing with some unresolved issues with anger.
Wow.
You're angry about some stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say you're never going to go put some hot sauce on your food. You know what
right,
I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
It's cool. But it's just like, you know, when you just notice, like, it's almost like I got to have it. I can't eat this without it type of thing.
Yeah.
Then that's when you know, like I tell people all the time, your body is always speaking to you. Always, no matter what, your body is always communicating with you. But the issue is, we have never been taught to recognize that voice, our internal voice when it is speaking. You know why? Because we're always stressed out. We're always in fight or flight. We're always, you know, this, that, and the other. We're always distracting ourselves. The issue is, we're distracted. Whether it's social media or Netflix or working or family, it's the distraction that keeps you from dealing with the things that are within you that are asking to come to the surface so they can be addressed. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be quiet. Go ahead.
No. You didn't make my jaw drop. My mouth is wide open. I'm sitting there like, yo, this is wild, because that's true. Like, when I was on that straight and narrow and everything, mm-hmm. I still have a sweet tooth, and I kind of tempered it a bit, but yeah, I've been craving, especially like lately. I'm like, yo, let me just get a sweet tea. Let me get this. Like, right. I've been like, and mm-hmm. so when you sit there, also when you was like, yo, ice cream. So now I'm doing the sweet thing and I'm doing the cream thing. So I don't deserve love and I need to be nurtured. And I've been eating ice cream like ain't nobody's business. You hear me?
But again, it's like that is not necessarily a bad thing when you can now recognize, hey, I got some things that are asking. They're coming up for a reason. You know what right. I'm saying? And a lot of times we try to self-soothe with food to just bury it. You know what I mean? Because again, if we deal with the things that are coming to the surface, if we acknowledge them, and on one hand, we feel like we lose our power because we're admitting to ourselves that we're weak in this area. And number right. two, in order for that to happen, you got to be in a space of vulnerability. That's uncomfortable for a lot of people. To yeah. be vulnerable with someone, that's almost like giving your power away, because that puts you at risk of somebody knowing your secrets and then exposing them or not knowing how to address them or help you heal or overcome them. That vulnerability is very scary for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But again, you got to see where that seed was planted. You can now go back to your childhood and say, I was the only child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was the only child. And I didn't get the attention that I really needed as the only child. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you can see how you're bringing that seed. It was planted in only childhood. And then as you grew, as you go through different relationships, as you go through different things and in your business or in your life or whatever, it's just growing roots. It's growing roots.
Yeah, you dropping something right now. You got me with that one. You always creep up on here and then give okay. me something that I wasn't ready for. And I was just like, man, I had to adjust myself with the seat and everything. Ooh, man. All
right, so I mean, it gets real.
It is real. And so when we talk about stress and we talk about how it's not just current, it's overall. So people are, it's not even traumatic experiences. People are just have that constant stress in their lives because mm-hmm. they're self, like you said, self-soothing with food and everything. Right. So how does stress affect, you know, weight control, like weight loss and diabetes and all this other stuff from a health perspective? How does it do that?
Well, for sure. So I think, you know, I'm always talking about how, you know, specifically with diabetes, but this is kind of like all across the board, right? I think that people don't realize that when you are stressed out, you don't understand what's actually happening in your body when you're stressed. We just think, oh, I'm stressed out. You know, my boss is pissing me off or whatever. My kids are getting on my nerves. I'm just stressed out. But we don't understand what is happening internally and how that's going to affect weight loss or how that's going to affect your heart or your blood pressure or your blood sugar, right? So for example, when you become stressed out, meaning, first of all, you got to understand what stress is, right? Stress is how your body responds automatically to anything that it perceives to be a threat. Anything. So if your body, if your mind perceives that it is under threat, and a threat can be anything that's going to cause a physical, emotional, mental, environmental, you know, change, basically. So anything that your body perceives to be a threat, it's going to trigger the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. When the fight or flight response is triggered, you got to understand what happens with that. Your heart starts to pump faster. You start breathing more shallow. Your blood pressure rises. Your blood sugar rises because hormone changes are taking place.
Right.
As soon as you start stressing out about something, and like I said, it's anything that you perceive to be a threat. That could be a person. That could be a story that you made up in your mind. That could be fear of being unloved, not worthy of love. That's a threat to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Anything could be a threat.
Watch Grey's Anatomy at night.
Let me tell you something.
Okay. Dramatic scene. Girl, shot in the eyes, you're killing me.
Okay. It's a threat, though. It's a threat. And so, again, whether something is real or imaginary, your body is going to respond the same way. And that's what people miss out on. You got to remember that your brain is what you call an image-oriented organ. That means whatever picture you see or create in your mind, whether it's good or bad, your body is going to respond. Mm-hmm. So that's why the way you think matters. Because based on what you think, that's going to dictate what you believe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the beliefs are stories, are videos, are pictures that you create in your mind.
Yeah.
So when your body triggers the fight or flight response, that means the stress hormone cortisol is at an all-time high. And you don't want cortisol running the show. Cortisol is like the big guns. You only want that to come out when there's a real threat. If you're being robbed, if somebody has a gun to your head, if you're in front of an animal that's about to eat you, then cortisol needs to be released to help you fight that animal or that situation or flee to safety.
Right.
So cortisol in and of itself is not bad, but what is happening more often than not is that cortisol is just constantly running at an all-time high because we're constantly in a state of stress. And we are in a state of stress that is not necessarily needed for survival. A lot of our stress is because of our triggers, because of unresolved things that we're dealing with.
So what happens? So obviously, you need cortisol, fight or flight, you know, to help. And then you say it's a big gun. What happens when you're in that state of constant stress and cortisol keeps pumping and pumping and pumping? What does that look like to people? Mm-hmm. How does that feel in your body? Mm-hmm. Like, what's that like?
It's interesting because first and foremost, you have to realize that your body is like a master adapter, right? Like our bodies are going to adapt phenomenally to pretty much anything, right? And so a normal physical response of stress, like when that fight or flight response goes, your heart, like I said, your heart's going to pump faster, your blood pressure's going to go up, you're going to start breathing more shallowly, all the kind of stuff that helps you get the energy to run away, you know what I mean, or to fight. So you know, like if you ever got in a fight before in high school or something, like you pumped up, you just like, all right, I'm ready to go off. That's the whole point of the fight or flight response, is to help you respond quickly and almost without thinking. It's you spring into action. So you know how you have some people or maybe you yourself, whatever, but we all know somebody that just will go off at the drop of a hat.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's cortisol. That's the fight or flight response. Like they just ready. They'll just react. You know what I'm saying? And so you have those physical things, but you got to remember during a stress response where that's necessary for survival, for your heart to be pumping like that and stuff like that. When the threat is gone, it's supposed to go away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're constantly putting intense pressure on your heart and it's beating harder than it should, it's going to lose its form.
Right.
You're going to go into congestive heart failure or have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right? If you are continuously, you know, if your blood sugar just remains through the roof because you're stressed, well, you're going to have tons of inflammation in your body. You can go blind. You're going to lead to, you know, you're going to have blood circulation issues. You can have a stroke. You know, those kinds of things definitely happen if you're constantly in that mode. But what happens is, like I said in the beginning, your body is a master adapter. And so normally you would be able to say, all right, I'm stressed out. And stress is going to look and feel different to every person. Sometimes people feel stress in their jaw from clenching their jaw so tight. Sometimes people feel stress in their shoulders because they're so tense. Mm-hmm. Some people feel it in their lower back because cortisol and adrenaline get released from your adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys. That's your lower back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some people feel it at the top of their head. They get headaches. So the way that you experience stress is going to look different from the next person. And that's why it's important for you to tune in. You got to tune into yourself. You got to recognize how your body experiences stress. So you know when you're in the stress response. Right. I know when I'm stressed out, I get a headache. So if I'm walking around and I got a headache, I need to slow down and be like, Medina, what's going on? what's going on. But we don't do that.
No,
we don't slow down.
Can we keep pushing through? Like just like,
absolutely. You know,
let's push through. Let's push through. Mm-hmm. Because even now, as I'm talking to you, like it happened. It was starting to feel that way prior to us getting on the call, and I mean, you know, recording this episode and everything. And so, as I'm recording this now, my shoulders, like just like you said, my shoulders. I always get in my shoulders. My shoulders are really tense.
Yeah.
And then right below my stomach area, it gets mm-hmm. like super hot.
Oh, for sure.
And so now so in order to combat that, I have to put like magnesium oil, mm-hmm. you know, in those areas and everything. Mm-hmm. I must have put enough in there because these shows are back popping.
But again, that goes to tell you though, like, okay, you got to create that awareness now.
Yeah.
What was happening before? Were you nervous about the episode? Were you nervous about something prior to recording? And that's okay, but this is how you unpack that. You say, okay, why am I feeling stressed right now? What's going on? And you slow down. You got to be like, all right, what's going on with me? How are you feeling? And then you use your tools to bring your body out of the fight or flight response. Once your body triggers the fight or flight response, it takes 20 minutes for it to come out of it. It takes 20 as soon as it's triggered, it's going to take 20 minutes, assuming that you are using the necessary tools to bring yourself out of it. Now, if it gets triggered and you just continue stressing over everything, it's going to go longer than that. That's the problem. And again, your body is a master adapter. So after a while, and what I find more often than not, especially with a lot of my students and clients and things like that, they've reached the point where they don't know how not to be stressed.
That's me. Yeah.
You don't know how not to be because your body has now adapted to the stress. A lot of my clients who are used to having their numbers in the 300s and 400s, now it's in the 200s or the 100s. Their body is having to adapt to wellness now. So they feel extra tired. They don't have any energy. They're like, something's wrong. My blood sugar is better, but I feel so tired. What's going on? Your body has to adapt now to wellness because it is used to functioning in dysfunction. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's exactly what it is. I feel like I'm stuck in fight or flight. Like, I feel like that's where I've been. And I can't even tell you how long it's been. Like,
Most people can't.
Yeah, I've been operating like this for like so long now. And so like when I feel what your students are saying, it almost feels weird when you get relief. So like if I'm like relaxed, I literally tense up because I'm like, why is my body not, why do I not have this tightness in my shoulders? Like, why am I relaxed? And it's gotten so bad for me that it shows up physically, you know, in like things that I do now. Like beforehand, I just, you know, you feel a little stressed for a little while and then kick in. But like I said, being stuck in it where it's the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest problem for people. So how do you start to alleviate that? How do you not make this the new normal? How do you go back to the old normal?
No, I feel that. But answering that question though, you got to realize, has there ever been a non-stressed state of normal for you? Most people have never experienced that. And they've never had an example of that. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. That's what's hard. We don't know what normal looks like. Because again, when you think about it, and that's why I say you got to go all the way back. Yeah. You got to go all the way back. And I tell my clients all the time, I was like, you got to start in childhood. And sometimes you have to go even before that. If you look at the things that your parents were going through at the time of your birth, you were born into that stress. And if all you saw around you was mommy constantly stressed out, you never seen mommy take a deep breath. You never seen mommy relax. You never seen mommy go have fun. You've never seen that. All you've seen is she's always doing something. She's always busy. She's doing going. Well, guess what? In childhood, you are the most vulnerable, but you're also like the most gullible and the most, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're sponge soaking in all of that.
You're soaking that. You shape the perception of your reality as a kid. So if all you saw as a kid was mama stressed out, daddy stressed out, this person stressed out, everybody angry, blah, 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 I can guarantee in your adult life, you stressed out, you running, you don't know if you're coming and going, you can't sleep, because that was your reality. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that it's impossible to overcome, because again, you got to set your intention. You know what you want to feel like. You know what you want to feel like, or I would hope so. And if you don't, that's your starting point right there.
Right.
If you can sit down and take a moment to say, okay, how am I feeling right now? Does this feel good? Do I like this feeling? Is this moving me closer to my goals and the things that I want to accomplish? If the answer is no, then okay, you have an invitation to make a change. The first thing you have to do is say, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. How do I want to feel?
Right.
How do you want to feel? Well, okay. And this is one of the first lessons I have in Dominating Diabetes Academy, my online course, right? One of the first things we do, because you have to realize that you're trying to develop healthier habits. This is about habit formation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you identify how you're feeling, then you identify how you want to feel. So for example, if I say I'm super stressed out right now, I don't get good sleep, I'm anxious all the time, but I want to feel peaceful. I want to feel calm. I want to feel level-headed and like I'm in control. Okay, beautiful. You know how you want to feel. What habits, what environments, what foods are in alignment with those feelings? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's in alignment with that? If I say I really want to feel peaceful, when I think of the things that I identify as bringing peace, I think of yoga. I think of walking outside barefoot in the grass.
Okay.
I think of drinking smoothies. I think of, you know what I mean? Like all that aesthetically pleasing stuff you see on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think of those peaceful, you know, meditation. I think of that. So then what I have to do is say and see, identify the habits that I have right now that are leading to stress and anxiety. And I have to say, okay, this habit right here, that's not in alignment with peace. So I got to change that habit. If first thing in the morning, I'm flying out of the bed and I'm rushing to get ready for work.
Right.
That's not in alignment with peace.
Right.
So what do I need to do to align with peace? I need to get up maybe 15 minutes early and I'll meditate first thing in the morning. Why? Because that forces me to slow down. It forces me to like take a deep breath and recognize I'm alive. You know what I'm saying? So you have to align your habits with those feelings that you want to feel. And for everybody, that's going to look different. You have to decide what it is for you. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The first thing is the awareness part of it. I teach the ABCs of stress management. The A is awareness. When you're sitting down and acknowledging how you feel right now and the habits that are leading to those uneasy feelings, that's awareness. You're bringing awareness to it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it makes a lot of sense. And, and you're right. It's different for everybody. So that whole evaluating how you want to feel, because as you're saying this, I'm sitting there thinking, well, how do you want to feel? Like, you know, like I'm asking myself these questions. That's why I'm zoning off into space. I'm like, how do I want to feel? And I think for me personally, I just want to feel relaxed, because there's not one scenario in life where I'm relaxed in without having to have some prescribed medication from a doctor even sleep. I feel like I feel like I'm stressed in my sleep. Like, you know,
Yeah. That sounds crazy, but it's more common than people realize. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
there's not one thing on this earth that does not stress me. And then, you know, think a couple of things. You'd be like, well, what about that? No, I'm stressed there too.
Okay. Listen.
Your boy is struggling. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your boy is struggling. So
I feel you.
So when I look at that I have recognized that the slow morning thing, like I want to get back into doing that kind of ease into the morning, because I love what you said about that. That's for me, I was, you know, most days I work from home. So I was setting my alarm, you know, I'm supposed to be logged in by 7. So I'm setting my alarm clock for 6:45 and I'm up and I'm moving. I'm trying. Well, actually, I hit the snooze button at least once, but I don't know if I'm
going to
hit snooze.
Come on, radical honesty.
And then after that, I'm like, okay, now let me hurry and turn this thing on. Let me wipe the coal out my eye, you know, try to see what I'm doing. But I started for a while waking up a little earlier just to kind of just sit there, mm-hmm. you know, give me a bottle of water and drink it slowly. Just, you know, right. Kind of try to sit there and map out in the day, like how I want the day to go, you know, because when I was also when I was prepping at night. So I was, you know, writing out the list of things that I wanted to accomplish in that night. So right. When I tell you, I felt completely off. So I'm not making that list at night. And so now I was scrambling in the morning. And so now I'm playing total catch up. My kitchen ain't clean. I had to do laundry. I ain't bought groceries in like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm trying to tell you, it's a complete scramble right now. Mm-hmm. But it's that state of stress that you're living in, and it's like you're saying, it's not taking that time to slow down, just to mm-hmm. figure it out what you want, mm-hmm. and then moving accordingly towards that. So, yes. It seems so easy. So why is it so hard?
Because we make it hard. I'm gonna be honest. We have to start practicing radical honesty. Mm-hmm. Not just honesty, radical honesty. Because when it's radical honesty, it means you got to have the courage to look yourself in the mirror or sit down with yourself and be like, you are the problem. Mm-hmm. You are the problem. The reason why we don't know if we come in or go on, the reason why we crying all the time, the reason why we so stressed out, you are the problem. You are the problem. We can't blame nobody else. And I think that is what keeps a lot of us stuck, is we want to blame somebody because it's easier than dealing with our own stuff. It's not hard. It's not hard. We make it hard. We make it hard because we say, oh my God, you want me to get up earlier? Oh my God, that's just so hard. It's not if you go to bed earlier.
Right.
It's not if you turn the TV off. It's not if you put your phone down. It's not hard. But again, we want to keep being so distracted. We're like, oh my gosh, if I stop doing this, you know, I'm going to feel this way. Well, that's the whole point, because how you're feeling right now, you're miserable.
I am miserable. I'm not miserable, but I'm miserable. If I'm just being honest.
Yeah, but I mean, you want to feel better and you want to be in a better place than you are right now. You know what I mean? And again, exactly. That takes radical honesty, but it also takes honoring the baby steps. Yeah. Honor the baby. You don't have to go from 0 to 100. And I don't recommend that you do. A lot of times we take on this all or nothing mindset. That's one of the worst things that you can do. The worst. You have to honor the baby steps. And sometimes what gets hard about honoring the baby steps is, first one, sometimes we feel like that's an insult. We'd be like, no, I could do more than this. Like, you just want me to wake up 15 minutes early? Like, no, I could do an hour. I'm sure you can, but can we commit to 15 minutes first? If you can't do 15 minutes, you are not going to be able to do an hour consistently.
Right.
That's the thing. We want sustainable and we want consistent. You gotta be consistent with the baby steps. If you can't do that, you're not gonna be able to do more. You'll be able to do more for a week or two, but then you're gonna find yourself right back at square one because you did not honor the baby steps. There's no shame in going slow. When you were a baby, you didn't come out the womb running.
No.
You didn't do it. You wasn't even walking. You weren't crawling or nothing. The first thing you had to do was lift your head up. So learn how to lift your head up. Go back to being a baby. Lifting your head up might be, all right, I'm going to drink one bottle of water a day because I'm used to drinking a 6-pack of beer. Yeah. All right, cool. Your baby step might be, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier than I am right now without pressing snooze. That's a baby step. Your baby step might be, listen, I like eating fast food, but instead of eating out all day, I'm going to only have one meal out a day and I'm going to cook my other 2 meals. That's a baby step.
Yeah.
It's little, it seems insignificant, but it's something. And once you can be consistent with the baby step, then you can add the next step. Once you learn to lift your head up, then you can learn how to roll over. Mm-hmm. You just lifted your head up. You ain't running yet. You ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. And think about how long it takes a baby to do that. The baby got to be 5-6 months before it can sit up on its own.
Right.
How you think you're going to come right out the gate talking about some, I'm about to go to the gym for 2 hours a day and I'm a juice cleanse and I'm a, you're doing too much. And that's why we get frustrated, because it don't take all that.
Yeah.
It don't take all that.
We want the instant results right away.
We want the instant results. Yeah. Absolutely. And they get mad when we don't see them and they'll be like, well, I'm doing all this work. Nothing's working. No, that's not the truth. It does work. But because you're stressed out about it, that's why it's not working. Because you're trying to do all this stuff, not realizing you're stressing yourself out. You're stressing yourself out trying to put so much on your plate. You're going from zero to 100. That's too much. Most people, especially in the diabetes community, the reason why you're so stressed out is because you're doing too much. You need to simplify it. You don't need to do all the things right now. That's why I have the 5-day blood sugar reboot. You can lower your blood sugar by 50 to 100 or more points in 5 days. You know how you do that? By simplifying it. By going back to the basics. That's how we do. That's how I've gotten thousands of people to lower their blood sugar in 5 days.
5 days.
Just less than a week. Everybody got 5 days.
Everybody got 5 days. By the way, all these links to the ABCs, the dominating diabetes, the lowering your blood sugar in 5 days, all these links are going to be conveniently located in the show notes. So when y'all hear it, just go ahead and click on it. We got you. But I do want to ask you this. All right. So since you give me all these tips, you give me all these tricks, you blew my mind with the whole stress thing. I know you got like some kind of secret for me. What's the secret combination of nutrients and food that I need to eat? Because you say food, you know, you're using food as medicine to help with everything to help. Right. So what's the nutrients in the food? What's that combination I need that's going to make me lower my stress and then make me just feel better as an overall person in general? I know you got something for me.
I am going to blow your mind. You know why I'm going to blow your mind? Because number one, you're diabetic. And what I'm getting ready to tell you is going to be completely opposite of what you've been told to do as a diabetic. It's going to be completely opposite. Completely opposite.
Eat sugar.
Okay, not that completely opposite. Okay. Well, but kind of though. Okay. What's the number one thing besides, I mean, sugar falls in that category, right? But what's the number one thing that all diabetics are very afraid to eat?
I know where you're going with this. Fruit.
Fruit, absolutely. And fruit is what? Fruit is a carb, right?
Fruit is a carb. Fruit, it got glucose and sucrose and fructose and all the
toasts. Okay, all the toasts. All right. Listen, I'm the secret ingredient. If you want me to be completely real with you, the secret formula is eating more carbs.
Whoa.
That's how I help you. I tell people to eat more carbs. Eat all the carbs.
Huh? Wait.
Come on. I know. And you know, it's completely the opposite of what Western medicine says to do. Exactly. And you know what? I'm gonna break it down to you. I'm telling you to eat more carbs. Eat all of the carbs. Eat the carbs. Because this is how Western medicine works. Western medicine says your blood sugar is high, so we're going to avoid the things that make your blood sugar go up, right?
Right.
Carbs are going to make your blood sugar increase because carbs break down into glucose, right?
Right.
That's a true statement.
Right.
That's a true statement. But you're addressing the symptom of high blood sugar. You're not addressing the root cause of why your blood sugar is high in the first place. There's the symptom. Yes, you do have diabetes. Diabetes means you have the symptom of high blood sugar. Mm-hmm. But the root cause of diabetes is insulin resistance. That's not caused by carbs. That's caused by fat. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. And here's why. You got to remember, before you have a cellular issue, you have a blood issue. Mm-hmm. Blood travels through every organ, tissue, cell in your body.
Right.
There are certain places in your body that are not designed to hold excess amounts of fat. Okay? So when we are used to eating high fat foods, that means dairy. That means your cheese and your yogurt and your milk and your eggs and your, you know, when you're eating saturated fat from animal products, when you're eating fast food that's high in trans fat and all the cooking oils and all that kind of stuff, your blood becomes fat. Your blood becomes very thick. And so as your blood is traveling through everything, guess what's going to happen? That fat is going to accumulate in places it should not.
Right.
And when you're dealing with diabetes, that means your liver and your muscle tissues.
Right.
So if the cells in your liver, which are designed to store glucose, are clogged with fat, when you go eat carbs, your blood sugar is going to rise. And instead of your body having the ability to take that excess glucose and put it into your liver cells the way it is supposed to, it's going to remain in your bloodstream. And so now carbs have a bad reputation of don't eat carbs, they're going to spike your blood sugar. But you're not addressing the reason why your blood sugar is spiking in the first place.
Gotcha.
So when I have people and I tell people to eat more carbs, I'm not saying go overdose in Pop-Tarts and candy and Kit Kats. I'm not saying that.
That's what I was writing down.
That was your mindset. That's not what I'm saying. Let me be clear.
So no more Pop-Tarts. Because I'm about to go to the store after this.
Because you know what? And you know better. I know you know better. So let's not act brand new, okay?
All right, I'm just joking.
What I am saying is when I say eat more carbs, you have to remember that there's a difference in the types of carbs that you're eating. Not all carbs are created equal.
Right.
Not all sugar is created equal. There's a difference. Okay. And so I have people eat loads of complex carbs.
Gotcha.
And what that means is tons of fruit. And we all know that fruit is very, very scary for the diabetes community because you're like, oh my God, that's carbs, but it's also sugar. Again, not all carbs are created equal. Not all sugar is created equal. And fruit is some of the most insulin sensitizing foods that you can eat in the world. If there's one food that you can eat that'll make all your troubles go away, that's going to be fruit. And so I have people eat tons of fruit according to the circadian rhythm. You know what I mean? Understanding your circadian rhythm and understanding, you know, when to eat the fruit is going to be really important as well. But eat tons of fruit. Eat your non-starchy veggies, your leafy greens and your bell peppers and mushrooms and, you know, tomato, all that kind of stuff. But also eat your starchier carbs. Eat brown rice instead of white rice. Do quinoa. Eat some farro. Do wild rice. You know, eat the potatoes. Eat the pasta, not white pasta from white flour. But you can do, you know, there's protein pasta. There's chickpea pasta, lentil pasta, brown rice pasta. So gone are the days where we don't have any options.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
about, you know, understanding that we're at a prime time. We have a lot of stuff available to us now. You know what I mean? So you can eat the rice and the beans and the pasta and all that kind of stuff. You're just navigating a better way to eat those things. We're just having ingredients that are better, not avoiding these things altogether.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I say eat the carbs, I mean eat an abundance of complex carbs, those fruits, your veggies, your whole grains, your oats. Right? Your beans and your legumes, eat all of those things in abundance. Because not only are you going to be able to, you know, over time regulate your blood sugar by using food as medicine to unclog your cells, right? But you're also going to increase your body's carbohydrate tolerance. That's the only way to truly reverse diabetes. You know what I mean? So when because people would do, and this is no shade to anybody. I truly believe that people are doing what they feel is best for them. But if you're
like keto,
yeah. I do not recommend keto because
that's going against the opposite of what you just said.
Exactly.
It's extra fat. It's low carb. They don't want you doing fruit. So, so your in theory, your blood sugar might be down, but you only, like you say, only addressing the symptoms.
And then you
You normally raise your cholesterol, your LCLs and all that.
There you go.
Here's the reason my doctor is getting on me about my
cholesterol. See, and I'm going to get on you too, because you know better.
But I was, it's the carbs. And so I was like, well, I'm going to eat less carbs. I'm going to eat less carbs.
Yeah. Because, and again, it's a scary thing for you to have somebody say, no, don't do what the doctor is saying. Do the complete opposite. Because again, we're supposed to be able to go in and trust our doctors. We're supposed to do that. But I think what we have to realize is the system of Western medicine does not work for chronic illness.
Right.
It doesn't work. It does not work when we are talking about reversing the root cause. Doctors are trained in medicine. They're not trained in nutrition. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They are trained to match a symptom with a prescription. That is what they do. And it's not their fault. It's the system that the Western medicine system was built on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about healing, when we are talking about health care, not sick care, when we're talking about health and healing, everything we have already is everything that we need. But you got to eat real food. You got to eat real food. And it doesn't have to be these super over the top, dramatic, super creative creations. That's not what I do. I got like 10 minutes to throw a meal together. 98% of the time, I got 10 minutes. If it don't come together in 10 minutes, I ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? It just, that's the reality. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it can be hard is what I'm saying, because we have a lot of people that hang on to their doctor's every word. And yes, they have the best intentions, but you got to know more about your body than the doctor knows. And that's where we get it twisted. We rely on our doctors to know more about ourselves than we know about ourselves.
It's a partnership. Y'all working
absolutely
on a plan for yourself.
It's a partnership.
They can't, all they know is the symptoms that you tell them.
Exactly.
And so if you're not, it's like you say, if you're not paying attention to your body, like knowing that you've been craving ice cream and, you know, and everything and all the other stuff.
Right.
If you're not paying attention to your body, you'd be like, yeah, I got diabetes. And they'd be like, well, take this. And that's all the interaction that you have with your doctor.
That's it.
That's all they got to give you.
That's all they got to give you. And that's how a lot of people get stuck on medication. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a temporary fix. Yes, it is going to make your blood sugar appear as though it is in a healthy range. But is it solving the root cause? That's what you got to ask. Is it solving the root cause to where if you did not take this medication, your body would be able to regulate its own glucose the way it was designed to? If the answer is no, there's a better way. There's a better way. The whole point is healing, not temporary Band-Aid stuff.
Right.
That doesn't get you long-term results. That's not sustainable. You mean to tell me I got to be on medication for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
That's my only option is medication for the rest of my life. Yeah. There's no way you can convince me that that's my only option. I don't care what it comes to. There's no way. But again, we have to learn how to understand our own body. We got to know our own bodies and how they're functioning in dysfunction. You got to know how something is broken in order to fix it. Mm-hmm. If your clock is broken because it ran out of batteries, you got to know it ran out of batteries so you can change the batteries.
Right.
You can't just be like, all right, I'm just going to throw it away and buy a new clock. I mean, you can do that, but you know what I'm saying? It was an easier solution is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't buy a new body.
So you can't do that.
You might as well figure out how to change these batteries.
Exactly. You got to fix it. But if you didn't understand how it's broken or how it's not running right, you're not going to understand or you're not going to value this different approach of eat more carbs. You're going to be like, lady, you crazy. You ain't helping nobody. I don't believe it. You're crazy because you're telling them to eat more carbs. That's not what my doctor said.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand. You got to go back to the basics of nutrition. You got to go back to the basics of healthy habit formation. And that requires for you to pull back, slow down, and simplify. You got to simplify. Start eating real food. Start eating fruits and vegetables.
All right. Well, before I go, I go and go get some fruit because apparently that's my next stop. we are here in my favorite segment of the show. It's about damn time. So, Tina, what is it about damn time for people to start doing to lower their stress to help them with healthy living?
I love this. Can I just first, before I say it, I love this segment of your show. I think this is so creative and awesome. So thank you for having this in your show. And what I'm going to say is it is about damn time for us to slow down. Slow down. You got to get your body out of that fight or flight response. It is about damn time to start practicing radical honesty. Start creating awareness around the triggers in your life. So that way, stress doesn't control your life. It's not about what is happening around you. It is how you are responding to what is happening around you. Everything doesn't deserve your energy. Everything doesn't need a response. So it's not about, oh, this thing is happening. This is triggering. How are you responding to those things? Because if you can control the way you respond, you can control your whole life. You can control your whole life. Stress will be out the window. And that's not to say that you're never going to experience stress again in your life, but you start having and taking your power back when you learn that everything doesn't need a response. Everything don't need a response. Start there. There you go.
See, I love it. See, you say you love this segment, but see, I love when you do this segment because you nail it every time. Like, it's like, it'd be like, that's a clip right there. That's a layup clip right there. Bam, done. We got it.
I love it.
So before we go, tell everybody where they can find you at, because you have opened so many minds while listening to this, and then you can provide all the things that you do. So let everybody know where they can find you at, so they can click on these links and get started with their health, and you can help them move forward to a healthier life and a less stressful life.
There you go. I love that. You can always find me on Instagram at Queen East Nutrition. I know that you're going to have all the links to everything, you know, in the show notes and whatnot, but you can always find me on Instagram. I'm always showing and sharing different things there. I do have my 5-day blood sugar reboot program that has helped thousands of people to be able to lower their blood sugar by 50 to 100 plus points in as little as 5 days. You can also join me inside of the 5-day, or I'm sorry, you can also join me inside of the Dominating Diabetes Academy as well. And yeah, you can work with me one-on-one. Listen, I got options. Okay, I got options. So if you need help, and you ready to practice some radical honesty, you know where to find me, okay?
She got you, and she'll keep you straight. And then even when you have her on the podcast, she's been looking and side-eyed you like,
I do not.
Like, I'm just checking in with you. What you doing? We ain't checked in a while. And you know what? It has been a while, but I need to go ahead and tell you this, that you're amazing. I know I told y'all I was going to check in with you and let you know that, but I so appreciate you.
I am
so happy that you're my friend.
Listen, you ain't supposed to be, you know, having me cry on the podcast and stuff. I'm supposed to be tough over here. Keeping it together.
You almost had me crying with the squeeze thing. So we even.
Appreciate you, though. I appreciate you. And you know I'm going to continue checking on you because, listen, you are right there. There's no reason why by the end of the summer you should not be free of diabetes, sir. So I'm going to need you to get with me. Okay, I'm gonna need you to get with me. It's time to overcome some things. It's time to take control of your health because you got this. You got this. You can do this. It's about damn time.
Yeah.
Okay, it's about damn time. Okay, it's about damn time.
Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.